Good morning. And welcome to worship. And we're very pleased to have, well, we're not here yet, but we're very pleased to have the captains with us. And we look forward to their leadership of our meeting this morning. But before I hand over to them, just a few announcements that you need to listen to. Following our worship, tea and coffee will be served if you wish through in the community hall. We're very pleased to see you there. At 12:05, we will have an open-air witness on the triangle, to which again you are invited. Tomorrow at 10:00, it's the Sally and Mags meet together. On Tuesday, it's the Warm Space, and that's from 10:00 till 3:00. And you're welcome to pop in and have a cup of coffee and meet the people there. On Thursday, Explorers, the junior group, will meet at 3:30 in the afternoon. Next Sunday is YP Prize Giving. And some of you now have been in the Salvation Army too long. You remember the way you used to get your prize. You had to attend and get a star. And if you didn't get 45 out of 50, you didn't get a prize. But we're not so hard on the children now. And it's good to see them joining in our service next week. And there's an important announcement that is for everybody, really. And there are a number of events marking the 70th anniversary of the loss of 41 lives in the floods, 1953. So firstly, tonight at 6 o'clock in the St. John's Church in Orwell Road, there's a service of remembering, and that's at 7 o'clock, and everyone's invited to go along to that. On Tuesday, 6 o'clock. Oh yeah, 6 o'clock, yeah. Did I say 6 or 7? Hands up if I said 7. 6 o'clock. At least you remember that now, 6 o'clock. On Tuesday, at the Flood Memorial in Langer Road, at 10 o'clock, the reading of the names of the 41 will be read out by children from the primary school there at Langer Road. And then at 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening, there's a torchlight procession around the areas that were affected by the floods way back in 1953. So, remember everything I've said except 7 o'clock. Remember that at 6 o'clock and we'll all get on together. Now I hand over to the captain.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's thank you, John. It's good to be back with you. I'd love to say I had a lovely relaxing paternity leave, but I'd be telling a lie. I ended up with a chest infection, which is not very nice. But Eva is doing really, really well, and it's super important that I thank you all for your kindness, the cards, the gifts, the meals. My culinary horizons have been broadened by the various deliveries that we receive. So thank you very much, everyone, for your kindness. We don't take it for granted, and we appreciate it. We appreciate you, and we take it as a token of your love for us. So we thank you very much indeed for that. But we're here to worship our Heavenly Father. And we start with that song that the band has just introduced to us. And we will sing, Jesus is Lord. If you want to know what the Christian faith is all about, that's where we start. Jesus is Lord. If you're looking for an encapsulation, a short statement of what our faith is about, here we go. Jesus is Lord. That's where everything begins. We recognize that we have no other Lord over us than the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no other priority than Jesus Christ. We have no other interests that drag us and pull us than Jesus Christ. So let's stand together and if we are able, and sing these words. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. I just thought, it says praise him with hallelujah, so I had to give you the opportunity to give us a good old one. Should we have another one, actually? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That was a little bit better. Thank you very much. Take your places. Jesus is Lord. And there's so much truth contained just in that song, isn't there? That reminds us about who Jesus is. There's an engine of works of power. And we're going to be looking at an example of that later on in the meeting. But, God, goodness me, what a privileged people we are that we know the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, from whom all life comes, this song tells us. What a privileged people we are. That through his death and resurrection on the cross, we get to know God. We get to have that intimate relationship with God. We turn to our time of prayer now. And to introduce that, we're going to sing a simple chorus, really. Silently now, I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, I suppose that's our... there's an American word in there, isn't there? But hopefully this is our hope this morning at the very beginning of this meeting. That's why we're here. We want to praise God, of course, but we want to hear from him. We want to be challenged. We want to hear his will for us. We want our eyes opened. We want light shed on the reality of our lives. That's part why we're here. We want, God, change me, challenge me, teach me. And that is what we pray as we sing these words.
Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes in you, in me.
Silence. And simply wait for God, perhaps. He is ready to speak to us, perhaps. He is ready to soothe us, comfort us, definitely. But I wonder if in the silence of these moments, and in the silence inside us as well, let's allow God to minister to us in these moments. Heavenly moment, Father, we thank you for these quiet times when we can rest in your presence. They're often very difficult to come by in our busy lives. But we thank you, Lord, that you were here before us and that you are ready to speak to us this morning, Lord. So we praise you this morning because you are a great God. You're the creator of all things. And yet you desire to draw near to us. And we thank you for that this morning. We've got so much on our hearts and on our minds, Lord, and we raise them to you this morning. We live in a difficult world, a complex world. And Lord, we pray that you would be Lord over all of these things. Particularly when we struggle to see your action. Lord, we think this morning of Jim and Sheila and Regan in particular, who's far from well, Lord, and we pray for your healing hand on Regan through the NHS, Lord, but we also pray that you would comfort his family in these testing times, Lord. We also rejoice, though, this morning with Maureen Cates, who's not with us, because Robert is being ordained this morning for ministry within your church, Lord, and for that we rejoice and we celebrate. Lord, this morning we ask that you would speak to us and that you would be the sole focus of our attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hand over now to the ministry from the songsters. much, songsters, that song suits you, and you have blessed us this morning with that affirmation. John, don't go anywhere, by the way, because I'm looking for a volunteer. I'm looking for a volunteer who is very brave and very courageous, and I can't think of anyone better than John. But children, do you want to come up? Because I need you. I don't want you to take part, because I did this with a child once, and it took me years to restore the relationship. But you guys can come and watch. You guys can come and watch. You're going to help me a little bit. I'm going to ask you a couple of little questions. John, could you sit here, please? And if you guys could just stay down in the bottom, I would be very much appreciative. Right, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to fill a bottle of a bag of water, right? Where is it? I'm going to fill this bag of water. Oh. I'm going to fill this bag of water here. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to fill this bottle, and what I'm going to do is, I'm going to, while holding it over John's head, I am going to pierce the bag with some very sharp pencils, and John's not going to get wet. Do you think John's going to get wet, Hudson? Do you think John's going to get wet? Do you think John's going to get wet? Do you think John's going to get wet? Do you think John's going to get wet?
No.
Do you think John's going to get wet? Do you think John's going to get wet? Do you? Well, we'll see. I'm going to hold this over John's head. I'm going to pierce it with pencils, and he's not going to get wet. But I just want to be sure. I just want to be sure. John, could you stand up a minute? I don't want to wet the chair. I don't want to wet the chair, so I'm just going to put this out. Don't want to wet the staging too much. Just in case, here we go. So I'm going to pierce this bag of water, and John is not going to get wet, but I don't want to ruin his beautiful uniform. How are you feeling, John? How are you feeling, John? Are you all right? Do you trust me?
No.
No. Okay. Just we want to safeguard that beautiful uniform. So lovely. How are we feeling? Just to be sure. I know there's not much hair there, but just to be sure. We'll be needing a drum roll, Andy. So here we go. So, I'm going to hold this bottle of water over John's head. He's suitably protected. I'm going to pierce the bag with these pencils, and he's not going to get wet. Hopefully. Can we have a drum roll, please, Andy? We're ready. Going to try another bag. Let's try another bag. And where's my... I need my very own Debbie McGee here. Crozy. Goodness me, that nearly backfired on us, didn't it? Right, here we go. Whoa! Do you think I can get one more in? Do you think I can get one more in? Here we go. Thank you very much, John. Let's give John a round of applause, because he's been a very good sport. Thank you very much, John. Thank you very much. But guys, sometimes God asks us to do things that seem impossible. Sometimes God will ask us to do things that we think might harm us or go against us. But we can always trust in God. I told John at the very beginning that he wouldn't get wet, and I mess around with him a little bit. And with you guys, I got the sheet out and the towel out and the very stylish shower cap. But we can trust God. We can trust God. He will never ask us to do anything that will harm us. He will never ask us anything that's impossible to do without him. So you remember that, guys. Trust in God. Everything that he asks you to do will be for your good and for his glory. We're going to sing a lovely song now that you know, that some of you know. Who comes on a wedding stay to Explorers? Martha does, Felicity does, Matthew does, Isla does. This is a song, and David does, of course. And Doreen and Andrew, goodness me, you're a bit too grown up for this. But at the end of Explorers, you sing a beautiful song, don't you? Called Wonderful Lord, Wonderful God. And you do some lovely actions with it that I can't remember. But that's what we're going to sing now. So do you want to come up, face outwards, so you can see the screens? Or face outwards, yeah, do what you want to do. And let's sing that song together. Stand if you want to, and if you're able to. Martha says to me of an evening, I don't know what to pray about. That's fair enough. Sometimes that happens. But that'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? if you don't know what else to pray. That would be a good one. Guys, have a wonderful time in Sunday school. Don't have too much fun. And I'll see you afterwards. Thank you very much for taking part. Thanks to John again. See you later. Have a wonderful time. Andrew, would you share the Bible reading with us? Thanks to Andrew who stepped in at the very last minute to share the reading with us. I'm much appreciative. Oh, it's, I can put you on the rota, Andrew, anytime.
Our Bible reading this morning is from Mark chapter 9, commencing from verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Thanks be to God for his holy word.
A difficult story, a complicated story, a multi-layered story, which we will return to very shortly. In the meantime, let's join together in singing song number 30, "He Giveth More Grace As Our Burdens Grow Greater." Listen to the ministry from the band to bring us a prelude based on the hymn tune Lavinum. The arrangement we've just heard is based on Jeff Knobe's melody Lavinum, which you read about on the display. And he wrote that melody to accompany words by Reverend Nick Fawcett called Lord, There Are Times. And in this hymn, the author addresses those moments of doubt when our faith runs low. And when we question God's action in the world. I became aware of this hymn and arrangement in 2015 when the International Staff Band of the Salvation Army approached me to facilitate the translation of the words into French following the attacks on the offices of Charlie Hebdo and later in the year on the Bataclan concert venue. The ISB wanted to express the difficulty they were experiencing in coming to terms with these events, and in some small way, they wanted to show their solidarity with the people of France. This hymn and its musical setting continue to strike a chord with listeners because they express feelings that I suspect we have all felt. Feelings of doubt and disbelief when God seems to have deserted and we are left feeling confused and powerless. And this is the situation in which we find a father and his son in Mark chapter 9. At the heart of our passage today is a man and probably a mother who is in a desperate situation and whose faith in Jesus is being stretched to its absolute limits. His son, we are told, is possessed by a spirit that not only prevents him from speaking, but also sends him into convulsions. We could debate whether the boy is possessed by a demon or is suffering from epilepsy, but for today's purposes, that would be wasting our time. The simple reality is that for this man, for this father, is that his son's development is hindered and the boy's life is constantly endangered. And it seems that the father has heard of Jesus and his disciples' growing reputation as healers. And when the opportunity arises, he approaches a group of Jesus' disciples. But rather surprisingly, given what has happened previously in Mark's gospel and the apparent ease with which others had been healed, on this occasion, the disciples' intervention is unsuccessful. The boy is still spirit possessed. His life is still at risk. The father's faith in what Jesus and his disciples can do has taken a hit. It's when Jesus enters the scene, having returned with the very inner circle of his disciples after the transfiguration, that the real problem is identified. In chapter 9, verse 19, Jesus says, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Unbelief, a lack of faith, is at the heart of the failure to heal the boy. It's not entirely clear who Jesus addresses his reproach to. It could be to the disciples that had been left behind and who weren't dealing with the boy very successfully. But the father seems to take this rebuke quite personally. And unwittingly, perhaps, he expresses his lack of faith and asks if there is something that he, Jesus, can do to help. And Jesus picks up on the man's doubt and repeats the man's if, as if to say, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus then assures the man that everything is possible for one who believes. And we see that elsewhere in Mark's gospel. For instance, in chapter 5, verses 34 to 36, when Jesus says to a woman he has just healed, that is in fact her faith that has healed her. For Jesus, faith and healing are closely connected. But back to our story, it seems that the only thing preventing the boy from being healed was a lack of faith. And when the father realizes this, he makes a new request to Jesus. "I do believe. help me overcome my unbelief. The man seems conflicted, perhaps a little confused, because on the one hand, he declares his faith, I do believe, but on the other, he wants to be honest about how small his faith is. Help me overcome my unbelief. It's as if he says, Jesus, help me as I am a doubter. Help me even with my doubts. I do believe that you can heal my son, but it's really hard right now. Crucially, the man is not praying that his unbelief might be increased until it reaches a point where it was worthy of meeting with a response from God. He recognizes the limits of his own faith, and he trusts in Jesus to do the rest. And not without a few twists and turns, the boy is healed. I suspect that most Christians, most of us, most of you can identify with this man from time to time. We will feel powerless, confused, full of doubt, and we don't know how long our faith will sustain us or how far it will take us. The man shows us that it is in the acknowledgement of our inadequacy, our need, the smallness of our faith that allows God to work in our lives. This, of course, is true at the point of salvation, when we recognize our sinfulness and our inability to do anything about it without Jesus, because no amount of faith will allow us to save ourselves. And we see this in a parable in Luke 18, where Jesus contrasts a Pharisee with a tax collector. The Pharisee regards himself as righteous and looks down on robbers, evildoers, and adulterers. The tax collector, a much despised figure in the New Testament world, recognizes his sinfulness and his need of a savior. We can't save ourselves. Our salvation comes from faith in Jesus Christ and faith in him alone. And that is a free gift of grace. But at the same time, we also know that while we trust in that salvation, we trust in the promises of the Bible and the witness of Jesus' past action in our lives, we sometimes face situations that stretch and at times seem to exceed our own reserves of faith. In those moments, like the father in today's story, let's approach Jesus with what little faith we do have and place our trust in him to provide us with what we need to see the situation through. The father in this story reminds us that our own reserves of faith can only take us so far. But in the words of Alan Cole, let's remember that when we cry for help, honestly acknowledging our lack of faith, Jesus answers, not according to the poverty of our faith, but according to the riches of his grace. When we cry for help, honestly acknowledging our lack of faith, Jesus answers, not according to the poverty of our faith, but according to the riches of his grace. Beautiful words, which I hope will resonate with you today. We all have lots going on, I'm sure. And some of us will feel at the end of our tether, perhaps, unable to continue, doubting, ready to abandon Jesus, our faith is so limited. Yet he stands ready in grace to supply our need. So we're going to sing a chorus, and we're going to sing it a cappella without any accompaniment today, because it's a beautiful thing. It happened to us twice last weekend, so I thought I'm going to replicate it today. And we are going to sing a wonderful, simple chorus. I know he cares for me. And it's out of that care that we can place our trust in our Father in heaven for all aspects of our being and doing and living. So let's sing together. I know he cares for me, I know he cares for me, I'll trust my Father in heaven, for I know that he cares for me. I know he cares for me, I know he cares for me, I'll trust my Father in heaven, for I know that he cares for me. And I wonder if right now we familiarize ourselves with the words, perhaps we could close our eyes and make this our prayer in these moments. I know he pray together. Heavenly Father, we reaffirm this morning that we place our trust in you. And when we are struggling, when we feel that our own reserves are running low, when we think that we're about to run out, when we doubt where our faith is going to take us, Lord, we pray this morning that we would place our trust in you and that you would do the rest, Lord. That through your love and your care for us, through your grace, that you would supply our need of strength and of courage or of love or of passion or of enthusiasm or of forgiveness or whatever it is that we need in that moment, Lord. We trust in you. We place our trust in you, Lord. We throw ourselves at your mercy, recognizing that we can do none of these things for ourselves. We thank you for your love and for your grace. And we pray in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We close our time of worship together this morning with a beautiful song which has become a favourite, I suppose, in the last 15 years or so, In Christ Alone. So if you're able and willing, I invite you to stand as we proclaim once again the Lordship of Jesus Christ. may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.